Welcome to LSE Limelight from the Beaver Sound, where we unfold the best stories from students around LSE, with me, Emma Dukarvalyu. Today we're talking to Canon Suda, who is in the Human Rights and Politics Master's program, about the ups and downs of doing research in quarantine. Enjoy the episode.
Hi, Canon.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm very good. Managing to get through all of this. It's a bearable weather today.
So we can start off by talking about what your experience has been in your master's program.
So my master's degree is a one-year program, which started in September last year. Well, it's been a really fast year, but it's coming to an end soon. Overall, it's been a very positive experience. I've managed to meet so many amazingly talented and intelligent people, obviously considering that we're in the hub of London. Get so many opportunities. Got to meet John Eikenberry, which was really cool. And yeah, it's been very positive. It's just a shame that, you know, a one-year master is already so short and I only got 5 months or so of LSE. But I think I have tried to make the most of it as much as I can. Yeah. You know, a master's degree during COVID, I think it's gone so much better than I first expected. You know, I think we all had that sort of devastation in the end of March, where you're like, oh my gosh, I only have 2 weeks left. It was a one-year degree. I can't believe it's happening. But even with the last 3 weeks where everything moved to Zoom, our lectures, yeah, just were really great. And our classes actually went really, really well, I think.
Yeah, how has it been like to do research in quarantine? Probably been really challenging.
Yeah, a bit. It's obvious. It's, well, for me, everyone obviously has different styles of studying and research and all that. But for me, I really like being in, you know, proper academic space, like library or center building, you know, the fourth floor center building or something. And it's always been a trend where I would leave to uni at 9 a.m. and I'll just stay on campus until like 10 or 11 and then come back. So it was very difficult. Just studying as it is was quite difficult, just doing it from my room as it is. Specifically in terms of research-wise, again, the lack of library resources was difficult, as I'm sure it is for everyone. But in replacement of that, I think the uni has been quite good with providing us resource alternatives, workshop sessions on how to use databases, and obviously, you know, British Library and all other library databases have been providing free access. So I think we've been managing to find ways around, although obviously it's still limited.
Have you gotten any other kinds of support from LSE or from academic advisors or professors or anything like that?
I have heard mixed reviews from people in other departments, but at least for my program and my main, you know, supervisors and lecturers, they've been so supportive with the whole process. Some of them even let us, you know, have meetup sessions during Easter break just to check up on how we are. They've all been like open arms with like any support that we need. For the sociology department specifically, they extended office hours for an extra 2 weeks for our dissertation support. And yeah, I think, you know, obviously it is not ideal, but at least for my own lectures, they have been very, very supportive. And it hasn't just been the academic side, it's very much been about like the mental well-being side too. So I very much appreciate that.
Yeah, you were saying something really interesting the other day when we were talking about how the social side of university is so important, not only for, you know, like seeing friends and meeting people and things like that, but also in terms of research. You were talking about like being able to bounce ideas off of friends and things like that. Do you want to talk about that again?
Yeah, sure. Thank you for jogging up my memory. I think as I was saying last time, I think especially because as uni students, we're also, for the lack of better words, like passionate about what we're studying. Even if we're just talking in normal social situations or just, you know, catching up over coffee, it sort of inevitably gravitates towards, oh, like, what is your research topic? What dissertation are you doing? How's your essay going and all that? So I feel like that, you know, even the sort of general social surroundings had been so important for all of us to sort of casually discuss ideas, bounce ideas off of each other, and sort of an organic process of coming up with new ideas and analyses, and because obviously everyone in LSC is so incredibly intelligent and knowledgeable, like I'd always get so much inspiration from everyone around me. So going back to the research, you know, it's not just about reading just loads of articles and books, but it's also communicating with people, going to lecturers' office hours, them sort of like getting out a book from their cool bookshelves and showing us like a new resource, or just talking to friends and then being like, oh, by the way, I know a friend who specializes in this. Do you want me to get you guys in touch and stuff? And that element, yeah, has been especially different for me and probably also my MSc Human Rights and Politics friends, because it was more or less a close-knit group with 40 students or so, which we got together every Monday, and then sometimes we go for coffee afterwards and stuff. So yeah, that's been very different, I think, now that I reflect back about it.
And then we also talked about immigration issues and visas. What would you say is like the general sentiment for master's students around visas and immigration?
I think there's definitely a sense of like looming panic and that nervousness in the back of your head that hasn't quite hit yet, because we're still worried about our dissertations. But especially I think after our dissertations due in the end of August, there's going to be like that. What are we going to do? Basically for a master's, you get an extra 4 months. So my visa is on until January. And as long as I find work that can sponsor a tier two visa for me, where they can convert my tier four into a tier two by probably December, I'll be able to stay. But then again, obviously with COVID, there's a lot of job losses. You know, employability was already a massive issue, and now it's even more of an issue, especially for new graduates who don't have much work experience. So yeah, right now I think it's more so like an ambiguous, vague worry. But I think especially after August, it'll sort of hit. It's also kind of a shame because I think from this year's cohort, from 2020, I think everyone with visas get an extra 2 years to be able to stay after the program. So there's that sort of like, oh, I wish I deferred 1 year. But then again, from next year, it's going to be a very different situation. There's a lot of frustration with especially master's students, international master's students, of how we have still had to pay for our term three fees despite all this. Even as an EU or UK student, the master's degree is so expensive. I think for us, it's like 14K or 16K, somewhere around there for home in EU. And for international, it's 23K. And obviously the bulk of our studies go in the first and second terms. And especially with COVID, we literally have no resources, no physical resources. We still get quite a lot of support, as I said before, which I really, really appreciate. But with universities, that physical space is so important. And, you know, without all of that, we still have to pay obviously every other master's student and undergrad, we still have to pay our term three fees, which for me amounted to over 7K for just writing essays in my room, because it was third term and there's nothing but writing essays and doing exams. Although we did fully acknowledge, at least again for our master's degree, that our lecturers have been wonderful in giving us as much support we need, that it just does not amount. It's just not fair for us to pay so much for that summer term where there was no classes to begin with. And I think there's a lot of frustration going on with that. And not frustration just for the sake of frustration, but again, for, you know, economic reasons for many people as well. I know some friends who got laid off of their part-time jobs rather than being furloughed. And I think there was a lot of anxiety around third term installments. And that's something that we're still hoping for it to be addressed by the uni, where we had a whole letter, open letter to the director, you know, in regards to, you know, I think it was very reasonable in my opinion. He said we were not expecting a full payment back, but at least a partial amount of it, because, you know, whilst understanding that the university also needs the fee and that there's going to be a reduction of students next year, we're not in any stable position either. So that's something that we, you know, when I talk with my friends, we often discuss about that a lot, and that sort of frustration and worry around it. Like, we're not necessarily angry at the university, but sort of that frustration in general that nothing's really being resolved.
Absolutely. This isn't like super related, but I'm just curious as to where you see yourself maybe going in the future with your degree, which is human rights and politics?
I think I do feel as if with COVID, it's taken so much of a harder toll on the investment sector. So in that respect, maybe the human rights sector, obviously, it's been highlighted more because of all that's been happening. And it's not necessarily a place that doesn't have demand anymore. The biggest sort of caveat with going into the human rights and NGO sector is that, well, one, you always sort of need a master's degree to get in, and you need work experience. Most of the time you need work experience to go in the sector, which is obviously quite difficult because that means that there's a barrier to getting into the sector itself. What I'm trying to do is that I'm sort of trying to find midway points that's not necessarily in, you know, straight in the sector that I want to be in, but has elements of it such that I can sort of bring in that transferable skill. You know, I was sort of being very idealistic in being able to find a work in an NGO or a rights-based internship even, but especially with my barrier that I'm on a visa and I can't just get any paid or unpaid work. I've sort of decided being more strategic with it.
I think that was it. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you so much for having me as well. It was very nice chatting with you.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the episode. The fantastic music was by Ashley Lyomasing. Our interviewee has been Canon Suda, and your interviewer has been me, Emmanzu Garvalyu. Today we talked about how research culture has changed in the last few months, how international master's students are affected, and how these circumstances have influenced Canon's career path. If you're interested in getting involved, check out The Beaver online.